If you aren't already aware, this morning we have a great gift in our worship service. Reverend Nettie Winters will be preaching, and Nettie has been a longtime good friend of this congregation. When I first came here, his church had a relationship with this church. He was at Hope Springs Missionary Baptist, and we had a long relationship with that church. Then we had gotten involved in the Thanksgiving Feeding Ministry at Voice of Calvary. Nettie is now president of Mission Mississippi, which is described as a movement to encourage and demonstrate unity in the body of Christ across racial and denominational lines. He is a former pastor, obviously, of 20 years. He attended Alcorn State and American University and has numerous theological degrees, honorary degrees. He and his wife, Tommy, have been married for 40 years. 43, excuse me. They have 5 children, 11 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. We are very, very excited to have him here today to preach to us. Thank you. So, Nettie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always an honor and privilege to come home, as Carol welcomed me here this morning. She welcomed me home. Excited to be with you this morning. Also, I was welcomed by someone else and reminded me of the first Thanksgiving service at Hope Springs and all that took place on that day. We're excited to be a part of your worship service this morning and to bring you the Word of God. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we are thankful and we are grateful for this privilege and for this wonderful opportunity to be together in this sanctuary. We pray, oh God, that you would just fill this place with your presence, with your peace. God, we pray for your protection. We pray, oh God, for your provision. And God, we pray even at this moment that you would reveal your purposes, that God, that you would illuminate our mind, that you open our hearts, that they will be receptive to receive what you're so willing to give us. Bless us together now as we open your word together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mission Mississippi, as you know, been doing this for some 23 years. We believe that we've been leading the way in Christian reconciliation and healing for over 23 years. On November the 4th of this year, we had an unusual event to happen, what we call an historic event. We had 22 leaders from around America to come to Jackson, Mississippi, and lead a dialogue and a discussion and a summit on racial unity in America. That have taken off, of course, and the New York Times and CNN and others have picked that up. We believe that the least likely folks to have that conversation would be us in Mississippi, but God saw fit to bring that to Mississippi, and we're excited that we're not only leading the way in Mississippi, but now we're leading the way for the nation. You know, our vision statement says to be a catalyst for racial reconciliation and healing in Mississippi and in the world. And so we're excited that we have been a part of that, and I want you to know this morning, St. Peter, that you have been an integral part of that with your support and your participation and your commitment not only to Mission Mississippi, but to racial reconciliation. So this morning, I want to share with you just for a few moments the word reconciliation. And I want to leave you with 4 words: real, radical, revolutionary, and responsibility. In the beginning, the Bible says in verse 26 and 27 of the first chapter, the Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Verse 27 says, and so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In those verses, here's what I want to say is that when God designed me and you, he designed us with relationship in mind. When God designed us, he designed us with relationship in mind, relationship with him, relationship with ourselves, and relationship with others. And so in us, the DNA is in us that we must have a human connection, a relationship with another human being in order that we will be fully, completely what God intended for us to be. Not only with others, but with ourselves. And someone has said, Nettie, you know, what do you mean with ourselves? And that's selfish. You know, if you understand that people that don't have a right relationship with themselves would do things like happened in Paris this past few days, like what happened in Charleston, South Carolina, in other places around the nation. People commit suicide. They do other things when their relationship with themselves is not intact. And so God designed us in such a way that we must be whole with ourselves, whole with Him, and whole with others. And so in that we have relationship, we have response, and we have responsibility. I said it again, we have relationship, we have response, and we have responsibility. We have the response that we can choose to do as God has created us and commanded for us to do and set things in order for us to do. We can choose to do likewise or we can choose to do otherwise. But in order to respond to God's creation, He gives us that capacity. And so as we choose, as we respond, we have a responsibility. The responsibility is that we will suffer the consequences, as I call it, or the rewards, or the results, or the rewards of our choices and our responsibility. And so we see in the beginning, God created us in such a way that we had a connection with Him, connection with others, and connection with ourselves. And when one of those relationships are not intact, understand that none of the relationships are intact as they ought to be. And so we know that if we read further into Genesis, we know that Adam and Eve sinned and caused our relationship with God to be broken and separated us from God. And then for so many generations, 42 generations, God did everything He could to restore that relationship. And then Jesus Christ came and restored that relationship and put us back in good standing with Him, with ourselves, and with others. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I just want to read a couple of verses from that. In verses 18, 19, and 20, it reads like this. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled unto God. Back in Romans, the 5th chapter, I want to run back there and read that just for a moment. In the 5th chapter of Romans, Paul uses that same word or the same language to talk about what God has done for us. In the verse 10, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more has been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The word reconciliation in the true sense of a classical definition says that it denotes a change from a state of intimacy to one of friendship, the healing of a quarrel. A radical change occurs in which an intimate and personal relationship is renewed. There is the suggestion of real friendship first existing, then broken and finally restored. Using the term reconciliation acknowledges that there are pre-existing barriers to relationship. Reconciliation signals the reconnecting of those who have parted. Now, when Paul uses this in 2 Corinthians, he has a whole new thought in terms of that. The word reconciliation is one of the most powerful words he used to help the Corinthians and those of his audience to understand that what happened to him on the Damascus Road when he was persecuting the Christians, not only would he run them out of town, but he would follow them to the next city and persecute them there. And he had his authority to do those things. But while he was on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter. He had an experience with Jesus Christ. And after that encounter, Paul said, now I have something that's real, something that's different. I was persecuting the church. Now I am proclamating the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went from persecuting the church to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, what happened to me on the Damascus Road, it was real, it was radical, and it was revolutionary. It was real in that I had a real encounter with Jesus Christ that totally changed me, that completely changed and transformed me to a new human being. In the 17th verse of that book in Corinthians, it says, 17th verse says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And so we see here, Paul is relating to the Corinthians and to us today by the Holy Spirit, that the relationship that he now has is not one of an adversarial relationship, not one of a relationship that is separated or enemy with God, but a relationship now I have an intimate, loving relationship with God that's real by the experience, by the encounter that I had on the Damascus Road. And so as Christians, when we have a relationship, when we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ and believe in him and allow him to become our Lord and Master, there is a transformation that takes place, that old things are history and all things have become new, because the eyes I see through now no longer has the beam of hatred, anger, and adversary relationship with others. And so therefore the relationship that God intended for us to have with him in the beginning now has been restored through our relationship with Jesus Christ. So reconciliation denotes a real relationship. Also, it denotes a radical relationship, because those that was in power and privilege and authority that was oppressing and depressing and discriminating against and using things against those and exploiting those that was under their rule in colonialization, Paul is telling those that who was, can I put it this way, those that was in power as the colonized earth, he was telling them to come into the same building, worship the same God, and have a relationship with the colonies. Can I say it that way? Does that work for you? It works for me. And so now he's telling us, those that once hated each other, once adversary with each other, now you are brothers and sisters in Christ, and you must love one another as I've loved you. That's a radical situation. I want you to understand that. That's radical, that you're telling people that once hated each other and once were at war with each other, once were adversary with one another, now you must love one another. Jesus says some crazy stuff in Matthew, the 5th chapter. He said, love those that hate you. Do good to those that do evil to you. Pray for those that persecute you. And he goes on to talk about how we ought to do as Christians. And so there's a new standard. Can I say that? A new standard in a revolutionary way for those of us. He goes on to say in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says, 2 Corinthians, he says, the first verse, he says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, and he quotes Isaiah here, he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. In other words, now that we've had this real encounter with Jesus Christ, we have been totally transformed. We've been completely changed. We have been made anew. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new within us and operates out of us. Therefore, now, because of the real change in you and the radical circumstance that you're in, that there's a revolutionary thing ought to take place. Those that are downtrodden, those that are less fortunate, those that are hurting, those that are poor, those that don't have equal opportunity, those that we can no longer stand by and watch that take place and certainly not participate in it. Our job now as creatures of Christ Jesus, that we are new creatures and have completely been changed, we have a responsibility to carry out this real relationship, to carry out this radical relationship, to carry out this revolutionary relationship. So things can't be the way they used to be. We can no longer look at people as we looked at them before, regardless of what has taken place in the past. That is dead. That is history. It was buried. Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives through me, in me, and through me. Therefore, I can love you now, even though I've hated you, even though you've hated me, even though we've been adversaries. I can do good to those that do evil to me. I can love those that hate me because of the real encounter with Jesus Christ. And therefore, the responsibility, remember the words, real radical, revolutionary, and responsibility. We have a responsibility as Christians that we can no longer stand by and watch what's going on in our world today and not have a stance or a say in the matter to demonstrate how it ought to be done. Mission Mississippi has been leading the way for 23 years of saying to Christians, you ought to act like who you are. You ought to live like who you are. You profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then your life should demonstrate that. So no more rhetoric. Get beyond the rhetoric and live a lifestyle of reconciliation that is real, that is radical, and that is revolutionary. God bless you and God keep you. Thank you.